So I'm here to introduce this model to you. It's called IFS, stands for Internal Family Systems, and it's a therapeutic modality. But apart from the fact that it's a therapeutic method to use in the office because I'm a therapist, it's actually really a way of life. It's kind of like a language that you could use for yourself, for others, to see the world. And I met IFS a decade ago, and it's changed my life. So I feel like now I'm like an IFS missionary, literally. So IFS was developed by Dr. Richard Schwartz about 30 years ago. And basically, it's a model that says that we are all about tons and tons of parts of ourselves. Okay, that everybody in here and everyone who's, you know, everyone in the world, every human is born into the world with so many parts of who they are, right? And we're made up of just a million different things and different feelings and traits and behaviors and just ways that we are in the world. And then sometimes in life, we notice as we get older that our parts actually grow extreme, right? So what might start off as being very passionate turns out that you become very angry, right? Or someone that might start off as being very calm could also become maybe very shy, right? You could mellow out also, exactly. Someone that maybe was very passionate, thank you, could die somewhere along the road and they become very anxious or just very withholding or withdrawn, right? And we really see that today. Many of us, and definitely the people that show up in my office, are coming because they want some sort of change, right? That there's something going on in their life that they don't like. Usually it's a part of them or someone else, right, that feels very extreme. And often what you hear is that people are doing things and they don't want to be doing them. Right? How many times do you guys do something in your life and then you turn around and say, why did I do that? Well, I know better. I didn't want to do that, right? From I didn't want to scream, I didn't want to bark, I didn't want to eat that. I didn't want to oversleep, right? Whatever it is, why am I so anxious? Why am I so edgy? And we're doing that all the time, right? Because our parts really become extreme, often over time, especially, you know, at our age, right? We're not just these little people anymore. Our parts have grown extreme, and usually they become our personality. And IFS is really all about pain prevention. The theory is, and I have so many parts already that have such a hard time giving over this model in such a small amount of time because I have so much I want to say. But I'm going to really try to calm those down and give you guys what I can. So basically, it's a pain prevention model, right? And IFS believes that everything we do, no matter how extreme it looks and no matter how destructive it is, no matter how negative the impact is, that part has a positive intention for you, okay? That whatever it is that you're doing, whatever anyone's doing, for some reason, that part in its mind's eye is trying to do something to help you somehow, okay? And usually what it's doing is preventing you from feeling pain. And that's why IFS is a pain prevention model. That it believes that no matter what we're doing these things so that we don't feel some sort of pain or some sort of vulnerability or weakness that we don't want to feel. Because, how about what? We could heal.
Heal from guilt also.
As well, definitely as well, yes, yes. And we all wake up in the morning, nobody doesn't want to feel good. Nobody wakes up in the morning in this entire universe and says, you know what, today I'm in the mood to feel a little worthless. Or you know what, today I hope someone rejects me. Or today I really want to feel like no one sees me, I'm a little invisible. Nobody in the whole world wants to wake up and not feel good. We all wake up in the morning, we just want to feel connected. We want to feel loved. We want to feel seen. We want to feel cared for. We want to feel important. That's it. We're just human. We're just all human. Every human being wants to wake up that way. And somewhere early in life, everybody meets pain. Everybody, inevitably. Even people from the best homes. Life is unfortunately full of pain, right? I always use example, we can use example right now, of my little daughter who's 6 years old, who's growing up in a war, right? Who's growing up in a war, who grew up in Corona. Like, we're all gonna have some sort of trauma, some sort of pain, some sort of vulnerability over life. And when we're young, right, if we didn't have someone in our external environment to be there for our pain, then we are left to metabolize that pain on our own. And we do that by these managers. We do that by creating ways to make that pain okay. And there's millions and millions of ways. And I hope this is an invitation to get you to begin to think, okay? And what happens is the pain prevention mechanisms, that started off as beautiful coping mechanisms and you really needed them. Eventually, we don't need them anymore. We just don't realize. We never wake up to realize like, hey, my world is safe now. I'm 35. I'm no longer with an abusive parent. I'm no longer in a home with a fill in the blank. I'm no longer in a fill in the blank, whatever it is that you, whatever your story is. And until we could stop and recognize, hey, I don't actually need to be doing this, but this part thinks I need to be doing this. This part, this extreme way of functioning, that part doesn't know that it has a choice. It thinks it's just who I am. This is just what I need to do. This is the way I am in the world. This is how everyone expects me to be. I don't say no to people, and that's just the way it is. And everyone expects me to say yes to everybody, so how can I ever say no, right? And that's an example of an extreme part. I please everybody, so I could stop. I'm allowed to stop saying, I'm allowed to not make everyone happy all the time, but I have to make everyone happy all the time, right? And examples are, there are literally millions. I hope like you're thinking on your own of yours, you know? Or probably of those people around you that you know. I'm just looking at the time. So essentially, the pain prevention mechanisms become our survival. And they really become our way to cope. And they really become our way just to be in the world, okay? And what IFS offers us is really the invitation to do it differently. Because if we keep doing what we're doing, we keep getting what we're getting. That's it. And until we can stop and say, hey, I think I could do this differently, right? But the question is how? Okay, the million-dollar question is how? And once we realize that, we open up to choice. And I always say that IFS, what's given me, it's given me bechira. It's really given me choice. Like, all right, I have bechira. I could do this the way I want to do this at this hour, this moment. And the question is how? So after a lot of thinking and some advice, thank you, we've decided we're going to focus today on self and not on the rest of the model. So that's what we're going to hone in on today. Because I think this really is the crux. Thank you, Yeti, for advising this. I think this really is the crux of the model, and I think this will be probably something you can really take home with you. What Dick Schwartz has offered is that in order to do the work that I'm describing and to get to the healing, we need to come at it from what he's called self. Self, with a capital S, is the center and the core of who we are. Okay, and we're going to go over today what that means. Because when we want to make change and we want to come at ourselves, right, in order to do things differently, generally we come at ourselves very meanly, right? It's so important to think, how do you talk to yourself about yourself? How do you talk to yourself about what's happening, right? So many times something happens, the same thing could happen to all of us in this room. And we're all going to have different ways that we talk to ourselves about it, right? The most common example I bring, because everyone relates to it, is you're walking on the street in your neighborhood and you see someone that you know, that knows you, and you think you see them, you think they saw you, but they don't really say hello. You know that like moment where you're like, I think she saw me, but she's not saying hello to me. Did she not see me? Is she avoiding me? Like, we saw each other, but it's like a little awkward because she's not saying hello to me. Anyone know that moment? Okay. And like, we all say different things about that to ourselves, right? How do we talk to ourselves about what happened? So some people will say, oh, she must be mad at me. Wait, what did I do? I must have hurt her. She must be upset at me. Oh, is it because, right? And other people will say, maybe she's having a hard day. Right? Exactly. She really didn't see you. And some people will say, she hates me. Or everybody ignores me. She's such a snob. She's such a snob. Exactly. What is she? Thank you. She's such a snob, right? We all have ways that we talk to ourselves in our brain. In our brain. And when I work with people, the first thing that I do is try to get their self to talk to them. Because we cannot change what we hate. We really cannot change what we hate. Love is what changes. And we think for some reason, if we're mean to ourselves, we'll change. We really believe. If we're critical and we're mean and we really berate ourselves and we're harsh, we're really going to get change. We might get change for a very small amount of time, and we're paying a large price. We're paying a very large price, right? Because being critical and being angry at ourselves and being judging of ourselves is just another way to be in the world. And it's just another way to manage pain. And it's just another way to avoid pain. The problem with pain prevention is that avoiding pain, unfortunately, I wish it didn't, always creates more pain. Always creates more pain. You might not see it right away, but eventually you pay a price for avoiding pain. It can come out in backaches, it can come out in headaches, it can come out in loneliness, it can come out in bad relationships, it can come out on your kids. It's somewhere down the line. We can't live by avoiding pain. So the question is, who are we? We are not put in this world to avoid pain. That is not why Hashem put us here. So we use our lives to avoid feeling bad feelings. It's not possible that we were born to do that, that our whole life is about just avoiding pain, just trying not to feel rejected, trying not to feel abandoned, trying to feel important, trying to feel loved, right? So what do we do? So what is self? Okay, so self is really our naturally valuable state. It's how we are born. Really think about a baby. Think about a little tiny baby. It's just really the way we're born. And the way I think of it, and why this model really spoke to me, is because I think it's our neshama. I really think it's our neshama. It's how Hashem created us. It's really our divine place. It's really who we are. Really, really who we are. We are not all these other things, right? And people come into the office and say, I'm OCD. I just say, you're not OCD. You have a part that's OCD. You definitely have a part that's OCD, but that's not who you are. I'm angry. Right? You have a part that's angry. But that's not who you are. Exactly. It's different dimensions. Thank you. You can give a speech. I don't know who you are, but you know everything. It's so great to have. So this is all just parts and parts of us, okay? But it's not who we are. Really, it's not who we are. Even the good parts. She's so nice. Yeah, she's a nice part. Yeah, she's a giving part, right? She's a ruchnius part. But who we are, our neshama at the core, this divine place, that is what we want to access. Okay? And this is what really Dick Schwartz really gave to the world. This is what differentiates IFS from any other therapeutic modality, honestly, is that we are teaching people to really access this core place in order to begin their change. We don't begin change without this core place. Because basically, otherwise, I'm helping people make their changes through mean voices. Right? Most people come in the office, they're just trying to change because they're angry at themselves. It does not work. It doesn't work. We want to help people dialogue from this place. And I'm going to give you a picture of what it is. I always say, I'm teaching you something that is so not concrete. It's an energy. It's really an energy. And when you get it, you feel it, you know it. But I'm going to try. I'm really going to try. So everyone is born with this. It's our neshama. Everyone's born with self. Nobody has to develop self. No one has to try to get self. That's already more parts trying to help us out. We all have it. It's here. This is a reduction model. We're just trying to move away the noise. Okay, just to unblend, we call it, to just make space so that we can access this core. Okay? And when we access this core, it has a ton of wisdom. A ton of wisdom, like godly wisdom. People really are their own healers. People really are their own healers. When people say you're the expert on yourself, you really are the expert on yourself. When people ask me, what do you think I should do? I truly don't know. Can we take a minute to just check in? You know. I'm sure you have the answers. You know yourself better than anyone. We don't like that so much because we wish people knew us so well. Like, we want to be so understood. We really do. But we understand ourselves the best. We were with ourselves the entire time. We wish we understood ourselves the best.
That's great. We know ourselves better, but sometimes you need an outside person to be able to employ it.
Yes.
So how do you recommend
Beautiful.
That? You can help everyone else, but you can't help yourself.
It's a great addition. We all, thank you, and that will actually is a great segue and really important point. We all live in blind playing fields. Correct. We all live in blind playing fields, or we just don't see. But with this model, a lot of the work is about being very mindful and slowing things down and having the understanding. So you're right. But that's why a therapist is obviously a witness, or running it by someone who witnesses and hears and knows and trusts you. But at the end of the day, once we slow down and we really are being internally honest, we'll have the answers with the guidance. Very much. Very much from self. But what I want you to come away with today is that we're only from this energy, really from this energy. Self cannot be damaged. It never is, okay? And when we're in the self-led mind, we have so much room. When we are in the self-led minds, when we are thinking from the state of self, we have like broad perspective. We have a lot of perspective, okay? It's like you're going into a house and you could actually unlock some of those doors that have been locked for so much time, okay? That we can unlock our own doors. We could do this, okay? So we're looking for self to be the leader of our internal family. The IFS model is about your internal family. Just like we have this family, this external family, everyone has parents, kids, cousins, aunts, uncles. But there's a parent there, right? There's a parent to lead the family. We have this inside. We have all these people inside of us fighting, all these voices. They're constantly fighting. One saying, now answer the question right now. Others saying, no, wait till the end. But maybe people aren't going to get it. But maybe there are people here who don't want questions to be answered. These are parts that go on in my mind, right? Like parts that want to make answer the people answer questions. People that don't want people to answer questions. We all have things going on all the time. We want these parts to know that we're here. There's a you behind the parts, right? There's a you that actually could hear and listen and then guide. Just like there's a parent and there's a mother with a family. There's a you that is here that can guide. When a mother sits at a Shabbos table and there's tons of kids screaming and mom is there to calm it down, the system calms down. When we are here for our internal parts screaming and fighting, we're here. We can answer to them, right? But how? Okay? So what is self? We're going to define self based on Dick Schwartz's 8 C words. Here we go. There's no order to them. It's just the order that I chose. Self is with an S, but he defined self by 8 C words. Here we go. Curiosity. Compassion. Curiosity. Compassion. Clarity. Creativity. Calm. Connectedness. Courage. And confidence. And we're going to define them because all of these could be parts. And again, like I said, managers, parts that are trying to prevent pain. This is not about trying to prevent pain. This is actually a whole different way to be. It's the way we are who we're born, our naturally valuable state, who we were before we had pain, who we were before we became defensive, who we were before we became armored. Okay, this is us before all the armor. There's an us in here, right? There's an I, okay? So what is this self-leadership? We're going to go through one by one. Calm. Okay, what does Dick Schwartz mean by calm? So calm is actually a physical calm inside. The nervous system is actually calm. Okay, you feel a centeredness, there's a stillness. This is a very high level of self-energy because we're looking for one of these to grasp onto to begin to have this conversation with ourselves. The calm, I think, is one of the hardest because you know like sometimes you could look calm, but inside you feel like a little restless. Like there's just something jittery inside. You don't even know why. You just have that feeling in your body. Like something's here. Just, I can't figure out what it is, but something's not calm here. Calm is like when you really just feel like you're calm. Okay? It's a physical state. It's calm. Curiosity is the one that I'm going to invite you guys to do the most because I think it's the easiest to link onto. What is curiosity? Curiosity is really switching from being upset about what you're doing, which is our general way, right? We hate what we do. We criticize what we do. To really trying to understand genuinely, why are you doing what you're doing? And I always say it's the energy of the why. Because you can come at someone and say, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Or you can say, why are you doing that, sweetie? What's happening, right? My teachers into seminary girls about ruchnius. You could say to yourself, why don't I have kavanah in my tefillah? Why am I gossiping all day long? Or you could say, why don't I have kavanah in my tefillah? What's happening? Why is it so hard for me to have kavanah? Why do I love to gossip? It's the energy. It's not the question. It's not what we do. It's how we do it. It's really the energy. The curiosity is the energy of really wanting to understand. Really genuinely wanting to understand, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why are these parts acting so extreme? Right? What are they so afraid of? Because our parts hold so much fear. People don't like that word. Whenever I'm in session, they say, what do you think that part's afraid of? They said, afraid. It's not so afraid. That's another part. That's right.
Another word for energy, like what does it mean to energetically
create? Energetically, right.
Yeah.
It's a good question. You have the answer?
Devorah,
come
on. A feel, like a feeling. Right. Maybe it's like a little bit of a less intense feeling, I would think. Like almost like a, it's like a calm, like a sense. A natural way, yes. More natural, more organic, intuitive, instinctual. Yeah, it's a great question. It's so hard to define something. So everyone has a different way that they... Totally, yeah. Like only you'll know, exactly. Everyone has their own way of knowing what they're, you know, if they're in that energy or not. The way they say it in IFS is that parts have agendas. Now, when you're in a part mode, it's very urgent and very agendized. That if you're being curious and you need to know, that's not self-energy. Exactly. You're activated. You're reactive. You need to know. Your kid comes home. You're like, what happened today? I need, really, which kid did that? That's not self. That's I need to know. I'm scared not to. Compassion. Compassion is our ability to see fear behind your parts and other people's parts. Okay? It's really feeling for people without being overwhelmed by their pain. Okay? And I want to just say you need to know how to do this for yourself first. It's feeling for people without being overwhelmed by their pain. So if you picture your kid coming home again and crying because they were bullied, and mommy starts crying with the child, we all know that's not helpful. No, it's not helpful. That's what happens with our own parts. The reason why people are so afraid to heal is because they're so afraid to feel their pain. I can't tell you how many times a week people say, but I'm petrified, I can't. I'm too scared, I can't go there, I can't go to those memories. What do you think will happen? I don't know, I'll drown in it, I'll die from it, I'll be stuck in it, I'll be depressed from it. Right. So not with self. Not with self at all. No, that's not what's going to happen. Because self is that naturally valuable state. It's actually your benevolent parent. It's really your benevolent parent. You are that parent. You're not going to die from it because you're now an adult and you're going to hold it the way you would a child. Nobody dies because their child comes home in pain. We don't like it. It's not easy on parents to see their kids in pain. But we know that to take over that pain is not helpful for the child. We stay separate and connected. We are staying separate and we are connecting at the same time. And that's what relationships are. Relationships are all about separate and connected, and that is how we relate to ourselves. We are going to see these parts. We are going to separate from them. This extreme behavior, extreme anorexia, extreme OCD, extreme fighting, extreme anxiety, extreme depression, whatever it is. There's a me and there's these parts. And I am going to connect to them and stay separate and not get overwhelmed by their pain, but understand their fear and their pain. Because like I said, their pain is young pain. Their pain is young pain. When you start to meet pain, it's generally very, very young pain. That's compassion. Confidence. Confidence is a deep self-assurance. It's actually really holding the worthiness, because unfortunately, the Western world has really taught us that worthiness runs on some kind of continuum. Like, you're worthy if. But that's not like Judaism. Like, for us, you know, we're just born, we're worthy. That's it. We have a neshama, we're worthy. It's pretty black and white. It's just who we are, you know. And what we do is we just give our worthiness to other things. So everyone here has their place they give it. Some people give it to certain friends. Like, if she likes me, I'm worthy. Some people give it to their husbands. If he's happy with me today, I'm worthy. Some people give it to their teenagers. If they're good with mommy today, I'm so good. Some people give it to their parents, their siblings. Some people give it to beauty. Some people give it to their body. People give it to their money. Everyone has their place that they have given it. People give it to their degrees. That's a good one. If I have a PhD, I'm worthy. But if I don't get it, then I'm really not a stay-at-home mom. Nah, that doesn't render me worthy, right? So we give our worthiness to things, unfortunately. And when we're coming from self, we actually really know that we're okay. We actually really, really feel and know we're okay. It's this deep confidence that I can handle what comes my way, right? It's this really deep confidence that I can handle what comes my way, not because I have all the answers, not at all because I have the answers, just because I know I could trust myself. Again, the best muscle is children. Kids are so naive. How do they run around the world? Why are my kids, when the siren goes off, want to watch the rockets? They want to go outside and watch the rockets. They have any interest in going to the bomb shelter. No, literally, seriously. Because they run around, they're young and dumb, and they're just so worthy and so fine and so okay. If you have good parents. If there's a parent behind and you know there's someone to rely on, that's what we give people. We give our kids. How can kids move on and keep doing things and go back into a class where they're bullied, go back into a class where they have a learning disability? We give them innate assurance that they can come home to mom. Sweetie, when you get home, mommy's here. If the Rebbe yells at you, like happened to my son this morning, kicked out, you're gonna go back to class, but I'm here. We've got this, right? So it's this deep assurance. And this energy, again, keep it in mind, is what gives us capacity to make changes. All this put together is the capacity to change. Because if I want to start, you know, doing things differently, and I'm aware that if I don't do that thing and please her, I'm still worthy, I have more capacity to change. If I'm still living in a belief system that she holds my worthiness, of course you can't change. And by the way, I'm reminding you, when you were young, people really might have made you feel that way. We have belief, very heavy beliefs from growing up of what deems us worthy. They're unspoken rules. Our parents don't say it. Good morning, you're only worthy if you look good. No, no one says that to you. But you get the energy, you feel it. You get that energy, you get that vibe. You get that vibe, you know what I mean? Like in this house, this is what's worthy. Vibe, yeah. You pick it up like vibrationally, like everyone knows what they were told without being told. We know it. It's a felt sense, exactly, it's a felt sense. We are reparenting ourselves. That's it. That's great. That's what our parents gave us because they're wounded. And that's what they had to pass over. And the thing is that we have so much choice. We have so much choice to now do it differently. Okay, and that comes from this energy. Courage. Courage is owning our extreme parts. This is critical for change, is that we could actually say we have an extreme part. That's the beginning of everything, is can I actually say what I have? Can I say, yeah, I get mean sometimes, or I shut down. I'm not so patient, right? I have a part that, and again, fill in the blank. Courage, again, it comes from the rest of the package. If I'm compassionate, I have courage. If I'm gonna be kind to myself, then I could actually say what I did wrong. Right? If a kid knows that mommy's going to be okay if they say, I lied about that today, right? And mommy's not going to go smack them, so they could have the courage to show up. But if we're mean to ourselves, we can't show up. If a friend comes to you and says, you don't understand, I ate an entire pint of ice cream last night, and you say, you're such a loser, they're not telling you again. That's not the friend we're approaching tomorrow. Exactly. It's judgment, and that's, again, energy, by the way. Sometimes a person's, no, people don't stay straight out. I judge you. You were mean to your husband. I judge you. I really judge you. No, people think in their brain, though, and we feel the energy. We feel the energy. We know which people we're going to feel safe with and which we don't. Everyone has their place of safety in this world. That's just what we have. That's, we know. We want to be that for ourselves. Self-energy offers that to us. We really want our parts to feel they're all welcome. They're all welcome within me. Because I'm going to hold them and I'm going to finally get them. I'm going to finally get them. I'm going to finally really meet them the way they needed to be met and couldn't be. I'm going to be that for them. I'm going to meet them that way. Okay? And that's it. Thank you. The judgment. Exactly. So the courage is really being able to really speak for these extreme parts. This is what really creates change. This is what helps our relationships. This is what we do in couples work. We can't make any changes if one of the couples denies all their issues. There's no one to work with. The best quality is someone that could really say their stuff. Because then there's an address. Then there's an address to work with. If a person's living in a blind playing field and denies their stuff, there's nobody to work with. Just being able to finally say, I did this. I had a client this week who said this. After years of meeting her, she's like, you know what? I keep complaining that I don't have friends. I think it's me. It's me. It was huge. And then she's like, what do I do? I'm like, no. We're going to sit in this moment and just see that you've finally been able to really see your parts in this for so many years.
How old are you?
28. It was huge. It took years and years to see that she had a part in not making friendship because she can't be vulnerable. She's too scared. Okay, and courage is really our ability to really face our pain. And again, the energy is not done with force. I want to explain there's no force here. We never force people to face their pain. We're not doing open heart surgery in an office. We don't force people to feel their pain. We actually go slowly. We come with a place of wanting and readiness and gentleness, okay? Clarity. Clarity is the ability to see situations without distortions, okay? It's like this x-ray vision into who you are. You're seeing yourself without distortions because we live with so many faulty strategies. It's the hardest. We live with so many distortions because we distort the present based on the past. We think what's going on is right about here. It's not. We say if it's hysterical, it's historical. It's not about the present. Okay, and that's the clarity. I'm doing this. It's obviously deeper. I can't, changing the energy to this energy, right? Of why am I doing this? Let me be curious, as opposed to you're such an idiot, right? These are parts, I think, of the most basic one that I have. You ready for this one, guys? You might not want me to stay here all day after this. When I get a blueberry muffin, I want it to have a lot of blueberries. Okay, I don't want to cut the muffin and like one side is like a few blueberries and one. I want every bite to have a lot of blueberries. Now, what did you say? Your kind of girl. Exactly. Now, for a lot of years, I really shamed myself for that. Shamed myself. I would get the same blueberry muffin on every week, and I would, me and my husband would go out for a date, and I would cut it open, and I'd be like, there's no blueberries. What do I do? And he'd be like, okay, you're not going to complain, right? Those are his parts. And I'm like, no, I think I might. And he's like, you do it nicely. And eventually, we learned that I'm going to buy three. And whatever, it's worth 20 shekels, 20 shekels. I'll be happy. Now, this is a part that's so basic. But you know what shame I had around it? Like, what's wrong? I'd be like, what's wrong with you? This is pathetic. Blueberries? I mean, you're getting bent out of shape out of a blueberry? Like, really? What? Like, grow up. This is crazy. Blueberries? Right. But I don't have time for it now, but it's obviously deeper. It's not about the blueberry. It's not about the blueberry.
What's the feeling under it?
Exactly. What is this part preventing me from feeling? Right? And that's exploration. And when I began to meet IFS and self-energy, things evolved. Because I finally came at myself with kindness and gentleness. I finally came at myself in a way that actually felt right, that actually felt like this is the way Hashem wants people to be talking to themselves. It really felt that way. And I always say, like, Dick Schwartz is not Jewish, and my teacher is secular, totally. And I always tell her, she's Jewish, and I always tell her, like, you know, Mashiach's going to come if everyone would be in self. Like, a Mashiach would come. I really think it would. Dick Schwartz, I don't think he's really Jewish. I think he's one. I think it's his... Yeah. So we tell ourselves. The first is, again, we want to first see it as a part that's trying to protect, come at it with compassion, without shame, without blame, without judgment. The answers will come. In the 7 minutes I have.
No, just the underlying.
For sure. Okay, I'm staying on topic. Okay, we're going to stay on topic. So clarity. Okay, so that's clarity. Okay, so we're seeing in clarity, we're seeing vulnerability behind protection. In clarity, we are seeing vulnerability behind protection. We are seeing that people's armor is hiding their vulnerability. We are seeing that anything we're doing that's extreme and that we generally want to judge and shame, we are going to pause and say, hey, there must be vulnerability under here. There is pain under here. If I wait and I don't judge, I am going to get to it. Okay, that's clarity. Connectedness. Connectedness is staying connected with all of your parts. Seven. Connecting to all of your parts, I hope so, and people, okay? It's seeing self in people. It's staying connected to something greater, okay? And it's really being able to connect to everything inside of you. What we like to do is we like to really show and, like, invite the things we liked about ourselves to people. We don't like to say the ugly parts. That's Brené Brown. That's about the vulnerability is our ugly parts. That's what it is. If you don't want to tell it to the world, at least be with it yourself. I always say, if you don't want to share it, don't share it. But be with yourself at least. Be with yourself, right? It's so much of a liberation of coming to therapy. It's like, I can finally tell someone, you know that I'm dying because it's been 25 years and nobody knows?
Social anxiety.
Tons of things that we don't want to accept in ourselves, we don't want to see in ourselves, we don't want to feel in ourselves. The mashal I think of is as a family, back in the day when a family would have a Downs kid and they hid the kid because there's so much shame. We have those Downs parts that we refuse to really see in ourselves. Yeah, we have ugly parts. We do. And those parts are here to help us somehow. All our ugly parts, no matter how destructive and how bad their impact is, hitting a kid, right? That's a really bad impact. That's a bad impact. There is a positive intention. Calm, curiosity, compassion, confidence, courage, clarity. Thank you. Okay, so that's connectedness. And number eight. Okay, good. No, they're different. Courage, clarity. And creativity. All right, creativity is the last eight. And with this, we'll wrap up. So we'll have a few minutes. Creativity. Creativity is our ability to explore new things. Okay, creativity is our ability to really expand and explore new things. It invites and it really breeds and grows out-of-the-box solutions. It's flexibility. It's imagining possibilities. So many of our issues just feel like, what will I do? Now what? But there's so much resilience. There's so much resilience. And when people could sit with the whole thing mindfully with themselves, there is an inner wisdom that will give answers. I've seen it numerous times. right? When we have enough perspective and openness and broadness, we find answers. When we come at ourselves differently, we already have answers. We really already have answers, because so many of people's problems, I was like, high numbers, it's not the problem. It's the way they relate to the problem. I can't tell you how many times it's not about the problem. It's the way they are relating to the problem. Hating your problem makes it a million times worse. We say a problem, right? An issue, suffering, pain, issues, struggles, plus acceptance is pain and issues and struggles. Pain, issues, and struggles without acceptance is suffering. That is suffering. That's what suffering is. And when we can really hold ourselves with this energy, this is when we begin to make changes. What we do with it, unfortunately, pain is the price of freedom. Pain is the price of freedom, because when we could finally realize that we really could handle pain, we make better choices. I like to say, we don't like pain. Nobody likes the pain. No one wants the pain. But it's not dangerous anymore. We're adults. It's not dangerous. If someone isn't happy with us, it's not dangerous. Exactly. It's not dangerous. We don't like it. We don't want it. We really want everybody to love us. But as we get older, we realize it's not possible. That's why we usually come into therapy, because these managers aren't working anymore. Okay, I'm going to pause and do, yeah.
I just want to ask one question on the end of what you're saying. If there's a way of getting us into that state of calm.
A way of getting us? I would say more than calm, I really think curiosity. It's very hard. Don't even think about calm, because it's too hard.
Great.
Go to curiosity. Take your time now to really think as an invitation. If you take anything out of this, it happens organically. You don't hear. When we begin to really come at ourselves like this, we calm down. When we begin, picture going to a friend, a really good friend, and being able to say your stuff that you didn't want, you're embarrassed of, and they're like, it's okay, I'm here, I'm good. We suffer ourselves because we're so mean to ourselves. We're so mean to ourselves.
If we skip the curiosity step, then we're doing the exact opposite. We're judging ourselves.
Yeah, exactly, we judge. Everyone either criticizes themselves or others. It's like instinctual. Think about it now over the day. The minute things happen, we're wrong or you're wrong. I'm wrong or you're wrong or he's wrong. Someone has to be wrong. But maybe we could just be curious that there's no rights or wrongs, actually. Everyone's just trying the best with a lot of times bad mechanisms. Yeah, it's a lot of compassion. Yeah, Yitzi.
Essentially, we're looking to become our own benevolent mother.
Exactly.
What if someone never had that and really has no idea what that looks like?
Yeah, people always ask. The question was, we're looking to be our benevolent parent, but let's say you never had that, so you have no idea what it looks like. So you do. You really do. You really, really do. That's the thing. Yeah, you totally do. Guys, anyone here who were to see a child fall, if you see a kid fall in the street, what's everyone going to do? They're going to, exactly, run compassionately, go pick that child up, right? You'd all do that. We really do know. When people finally go back and meet their younger selves, and they're doing inside work, closing their eyes, seeing themselves at a young age, when they had that pain, they had that trauma, they had that neglect. And I say, how do you want to be with her? What would she need if you could enter the scene and be with her in the way she never had? They know. We all know. We know. We really know. You don't need to have the model of the parent. We really, it's intuitive. It really is. We really know what it means to be kind and benevolent. It's a benevolence. We know. Yeah. For me, it was an extreme part. You know, for you, it's an extreme part. Everyone in this room could have perfectionism. For some, it comes out once a year when they make a bar mitzvah, and for some, it's every day of their lives. Their dinner has to be perfect. Everyone here in this room loves food. For some, they love food. And for some, like, whatever, it's good. I like food. We all love food. Everyone has, when they have an extreme part. An extreme part means you can't get it out of your head. An extreme part means it's not out of your head. You're stuck. You're really stuck in it. Yeah. No, you can go to any therapist you want, but this therapy, it obligates the therapist, and no other therapy does. This therapy means that the therapist themselves can't have parts. This whole therapy is that I need to come in with self-energy. Of course they can't, because therapists don't judge, because they're not judgmental, but we're human, so we get activated, and we're just human.
So you got to ask
very well. Yeah.
I just want to make a comment that recently started reading your book, and I want to say that it's so clear and
Thank you.
And short, and almost simple. The brilliance is in the simplicity, so it's easy to grasp. Yeah. Of course, if you do it and read it with a friend or two, it's even better. But thank you so much for writing the book. And I love the words.
Our book is amazing.
Curious.
That curious.
Where's your book?
So they asked me to bring the book. It's so cute. No, I don't sell my book, first of all. Rifki asked me. Palatine sells my book. It has nothing to do with Schierfruchter. You should all know. They give me a few books that I, as a gift to Schierfruchter. And at the, so I brought, literally, I have four books. But I need to end with a poem to be loyal to the IFS model. In IFS, we end with a poem. This is what we do in all our trainings. Okay, we're going to end with a poem. Here it goes. Voices once shouted, harsh and unkind, telling me I'm broken, lost in my mind. But then a quiet flame began to grow. A voice full of kindness, steady and slow. It shines through the noise, softens the fight, leading me gently from darkness to light. I feel like that's really what self is. I really feel like if I can invite all of you to come at yourselves in a kinder way, change will happen so much faster. So much faster. Just get curious. Why are we doing things that we're doing? Why are we? And just get curious and ask, and you'll see, you will probably uncover the pain and where it started and where you developed the way that you're doing things. When you start to understand how you developed it and update yourself, that you're no longer that age, you're no longer in that little life, you're expanded, you could do it differently. And that is where change happens. By reminding yourself, you're your safe home. You're good now. You could do it differently. Anyway, thank you so much. Really, thank you.